Great. Now, the title I've been given this evening is Don't Waste Your Youth. Because God can use young people. We all know that. God can use young people in incredible ways to have an impact on different people's lives. The Bible tells us that. So if you look in the Bible, different characters, you see people like Daniel. He was a young person in a pagan land. God used him to make a stand. You think of Esther, young teenage girl put into a pagan situation. God used her in powerful ways. Think of King David. People who didn't waste their youth and made a stand for God. But here's the reality. Most young people do waste their youth. Most Christian young people actually waste their youth as well. And the reason I say that, because that's my story. John asked me that question. So I became a Christian when I was 7 years of age. When I trusted Christ, that was real. So I look back, I'm 43 now. I look back at that night, August 1982, when I trusted Jesus Christ, that was real. God did a real work in me, but here's the reality. I wasted my teenage years. I slipped off into secondary school, like many of you, and find it's tough to be a Christian there. I played a lot of sports at school, and so I wanted to be popular in that kind of sporty crowd. And the easy thing to do is just water it down. So I still went to church, every Sunday, went to youth fellowship on a Sunday night, would have nodded my head to Christian things. I didn't stop believing. I knew I was a Christian. But that was it. Didn't make any difference in my life. Didn't make a stand. I can remember one time as a teenager in grammar school, somebody saying to me, "Are you a Christian?" Nobody knows the difference. I wasn't swearing like other people. "Are you a Christian?" "No, I'm not a Christian." And the reason I denied it was because I didn't want to be the butt of jokes with all the guys in school. And so what I did was I wasted my youth until I was 19, just at the end of my teenage years. And I went to university. I went to Stranmills College, trained to be a primary school teacher. And I met a guy there in my class. And he'd only been a Christian for about a year or so, but he was on fire for God. And he was sharing his faith with people, and he had a real hunger, and Christianity was real to him, and it was genuine. And I looked at his life and said, well, what he's got is what I want. And actually, he's been a Christian for a year, and he knows more of the Bible than I do, and he's more of a relationship with God than I have. I have just wasted my youth. As I look out here tonight, there's great potential here in this room. God can use every single one. If you're a Christian, you're a believer, God can use you in powerful ways. So what I want to do this evening is to pass on some words of wisdom. Some words of wisdom to use a bunch of teenagers so that you don't waste your youth the way I did it when I was your age. So words of wisdom, where do we turn in the Bible for words of wisdom? Well, the book of Proverbs. And so I want to read a few words from Proverbs 23. So it's a great book of wisdom. And this section is actually a father speaking to his son. And so as an older man, as a dad, he's speaking to his son. He's probably a teenager, probably a youth, a bit like you. And he wants to give him some golden nuggets. He wants to give him some real wisdom to keep his son on the right path. To keep his son living a life that is godly, to make sure that his son doesn't waste his youth. And so this is ancient wisdom, but because it's God's word, it's still powerful to us as well. I want to read just 7 words this evening. And 7 words I want to have, let God's word have an impact upon your lives. So it's Proverbs 23, and it's easy to remember. It's verse 23, so 23 and 23. I'm going to read the first 7 words of that proverb where it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That's what a dad says to his teenage son, probably. Buy the truth and sell it not. There you go. If you don't want to waste your youth, that's what you do. Buy the truth and sell it not. Very easy to remember that, 7 words. Buy the truth and sell it not. But what actually does that verse mean? Let's spend a wee bit of time just unpacking it, because there's some key words in that proverb. The main word in there is the word truth. You see, we live in a world full of opinions. That's what dominates our culture and society today. What do you think about something? Just turn on your radio and you'll see that. Turn on the Stephen Nolan Show. No, don't turn on the Stephen Nolan Show. I can't stand that. But the Stephen Nolan Show is a classic example of that, where he will throw out the hot topic of the day, whether it be something like Brexit, political thing, or quite often a moral thing like abortion, that's quite topical at the moment, or gay marriage. and they'll throw the topic out and they'll open the phone lines and they'll encourage members of the public, people like us, to ring in and give our opinions. What do we think? What do we feel about this topic? Now, I don't know if you realize this, but John here is actually an expert when it comes to these kind of things, because I do a summer camp for kids camp every year with John. He's one of the leaders on the camp. And a few years ago we were away and John got a phone call from a national radio station. Not Stephen Nolan, not Radio Ulster, Five Live I think it was. And what I didn't discover is they consider John to be a bit of an expert. So on some radio phone-ins, they'll ring him up to give his opinion. And I can't remember what the topic was, but we were in camp and we could listen to John on national radio as he gave his opinion on a topic. So John from Ballinahinch would give his little sixpence of worth of what he thought about the topic. And then Barry from Birmingham would ring in and he'd say what he thought about the topic. And what John said was completely different from what Barry said. But that didn't really seem to matter. Because these phone-ins that they have on radio, they're not trying to find truth. What is the one answer? What is right or what is wrong? It's just, what do you think, John? How do you feel about a kind of topic? You see, in our culture today, there's no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as right or wrong. It's all about, well, what do you think? What do you feel? What does it mean to you? And when we step into the whole world of religion, we come across the same kind of attitude as well. Do you know there's over 10,000 different religions in the world? And that doesn't count all the different denominations as well. And what we're encouraged to do in our society is just accept everyone. You believe that? That's okay for you. You believe something completely different? That's all right. As long as that's what you think, as long as that's what you feel, let's celebrate our differences. Even though you believe something that's completely different or completely contradictory to somebody else, that's okay. Let's all just get along. Let's all just be accepting of what everybody believes. I came across an interesting woman reading a newspaper article a few years ago. This lady's called Anne Holmes Redding. She is a minister, a Christian minister in an Anglican church in America, in Seattle, only in America. But she's a minister of a Christian church, and she's also a practicing Muslim. Now, when you hear a story like that, alarm bells should start ringing in your head. How can you be a Christian and a Christian minister and also a Muslim at the same time? Now, there's some overlap between the two. So when it comes to morality, we believe similar things, but there's some major differences. Christianity, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Islamic faith does not believe that, and there's some major differences. But as I read on this newspaper article, it became very clear how she was able to do this. What she did was, she took the bits of the Christian faith, the bits she liked, and she rejected everything else. And then she took the bits of the Islamic faith, the bits she liked, and she dropped everything else. And she took the two and she mixed them up. And that's what she believed. What had she done? She'd made up her own religion. And for many people, that's okay. If that's how she feels, if that's what she likes, if that's what she thinks, that's okay for her. You believe that? You believe something different. But when we come into the Bible takes a completely different view. The Bible says there is such a thing as truth. One truth. And it's not down to what you feel or what you think or what you like. There's actually a truth to be found and to be discovered. And there's a truth that we need to seek after. And we need to make it a priority in our lives to know what the truth is. Now, according to the Bible, truth can be found in different places. It can't be found on the Nolan Show or one of these phone-ins if you listen to it here. The Bible actually says that truth can be found in a book. So in John chapter 17, Jesus is speaking to his father. And as he speaks to his father in John 17, Jesus says, your word or thy word is truth. So the words that God says are not just an opinion. The words that God says are actually truth. So that's what the Bible tells us. And we find the word of God in this book. God has revealed truth to us. God doesn't keep truth as a secret. He's actually given us one book. And this book is truth. And how do we know it's truth? Well, we're told that it's God-breathed. And we're also told that God can't lie. So if God has spoken this word, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, if it's breathed out of God's mouth, then this book is truth. So if you want to know what truth is, don't listen into the phone-ins or the conversation on the school bus. You know what truth is? Truth is revealed in a book, but truth is also revealed in a person. So in John 14, where Jesus speaks about himself, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus describes himself as the truth. So if you want to know what truth is, well, you look to your book, but you also look to a person. You know what truth is? Look to Jesus Christ. He is the physical embodiment of truth here on earth. And how do we look to Christ? How do we know about him? Well, we find him as we flick through the pages of Scripture. That's where we discover all about Christ. So we know where to find truth. It's found in a book and it's found in a person. And truth's really, really important. How do I know it's important? Well, let's go right back to the start of the Bible. Right back at the start of the Bible, God created a world that was perfect. But we know what happened. It didn't stay perfect for long. And why did that happen? Well, the devil, Satan, came to Adam and Eve, our first parents, and he told them a lie. And he said, if you eat from that tree that's in the center of the garden, you won't die. In fact, when you eat from that tree, you'll be just like God. Now, was that the truth? No, it wasn't the truth. He had told them a pack of lies. And Adam and Eve believed a lie rather than the truth. They disobeyed God. Sin came into the world, and we are still living with the consequences today. Okay, I locked my car out there. I don't know if anybody will be walking along that street tonight. Why did I lock my car? Because we live in a sinful world where there's consequences, where people might steal it. We're still living with the consequences. Where did it come from? Our first parents believed a lie rather than truth. You see, truth is important. And what happened to every single one of us? The Bible tells us that we are born in sin because we descend from Adam and Eve. And it actually says we are slaves to sin as well. Sin is our master, because our first parents believed a lie rather than a truth. And so if we're slaves to sin, what do we need in our life? We actually need freedom. And where do we find freedom that will set us free from sin, which has become our master? Well, Jesus tells us that. And so in John 8, with his disciples around him, he says, if you abide in my word, or if you obey my word, you're really my disciples. And then he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you, anybody know how it finishes? Free. So if you obey what I say, if you obey the truth, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You see, truth is really, really important. We're going to stay slaves in sin, to sin, unless we obey the truth as God has revealed it to us in his word and in his son, Jesus Christ as well. Truth's important. And truth is also something that never, ever changes. See, in our world, we believe in opinions. But people might say, well, if there is such a thing as truth, it's got to keep up with the times. See what your parents believed. See what your grandparents believed. It doesn't fit with our culture and world today. Think about ethics and morality. Think about views on marriage and sexuality. What your parents believed, it's completely out of date. So if you want to believe those things, if you want to be a Christian, you've got to bring it up to date with the 21st century. You've got to change what you believe to be relevant and to be current today. It's not what the Bible says. So I go into my church every day in Carrickfergus. We have a large verse as you walk through the front door. And it's from Hebrews 13 and verse 8. And it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus Christ is the one who's the truth. And it says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never, ever changes. And so the truth never changes. And so we don't turn up and say, the truth's out of date. We need to make it more relevant to our culture and society. No, we don't turn up and change the truth. We actually listen to the truth and allow it to change our lives as well. So truth's important, and truth never changes. But what did the proverb actually say? It said, buy the truth. You don't just pick it up. You don't just acquire it. There's a cost involved. You've got to buy the truth. Now, when we first hear that, that doesn't really sound right to us. Because when we think about Christianity, everything in Christianity is free. You know, it's a free gift given to all. So how do we buy the truth? What we need to remember is, where are we reading from? We're reading from the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is one of the poetic books in the Bible, and so it uses poetic language. And when it writes, it uses things like imagery that you find in a poem. And that's what it's doing here. Buy the truth. It has the image. Maybe I'm going into like a market stall you'd find in Bible times. Somebody comes with their hard-earned money in their pocket.
they're not just going to throw it away. They're going to look for something of great value and great worth. And when they see something of great value and worth, they will hand it over because they want to buy it. They want to claim it for themselves. That's what we are told as young people. Remember, a dad giving godly advice to his young son to keep him on the right path. He tells him to buy the truth. You see, the truth costs something. Jesus told his listeners that as well. So in Luke 14, there's a large crowd of people around Jesus. They're following him. And the reason they're following him, watching everything he does, is because he does incredible things. He performs miracles. He heals people. And Jesus turned around to all these people who are following after him. And he says, count the cost. If you want to be one of my followers, if you want to be a disciple, think it through. Just don't do it glibly. Count the cost. Are you willing to make the sacrifice to be one of my followers? You see, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, there's a cost involved. It's not something we just do, fancy that, and let's go with it. No, count the cost. Because if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, he needs to have first place in your life. He needs to be the most important thing. You must be willing to let everything else go so that he has priority in your life. Count the cost, Jesus says, if you want to follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It reminds me of one of the parables you read in Matthew's Gospel, a kingdom parable. And so it says the kingdom of God is like. There's quite a few parables like that there. And it tells a parable about a man who finds a treasure in a field. He doesn't own the field, but he sees this treasure. It doesn't tell us what the treasure is. Maybe gold or silver or precious stones. And he sees this treasure in a field, and it captivates his heart. It's the most beautiful, precious thing he's ever seen. And he's got to have that treasure above everything else. So what he does, the Bible says, or Jesus says when he told this parable, is he goes home and he sells everything else he has. Everything else he'd ever owned is worthless now in comparison to this great treasure. And he sells everything he has, takes the money from that, goes, buys the field, so he now's owned it, and claims the treasure for himself. Why did Jesus tell that parable? He said the kingdom of God is like a man who finds a treasure, goes and sells all that he has. What is the treasure Jesus talking about? Jesus is the treasure. Jesus is the greatest treasure in the world. And when we discover Jesus, he captivates our heart. He becomes more precious than anything else in the world. And so everything else is rubbish in comparison to knowing Jesus as our Savior, as our friend, and as our Lord. And so like the man in the parable, we'd get rid of everything else. We'd count the cost and went, everything else, it's rubbish, apart from knowing Jesus. That's why it says, buy the truth. There's a cost involved. Are you willing to give up everything else to have the greatest treasure in life, to know the one who is the truth? See, truth always costs something. Jesus is the truth. It cost Jesus something to be the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He came all the way from heaven, and he gave that up, become a human, to have the limitations of a human body, and to walk this earth. It cost him his life as he was nailed to a cross in agony and pain, so that we could know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth costs something. And then when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, he gathered his disciples, the apostles around him, and he said, you go into the world and preach the gospel, preach the truth all about me. Go and do that. And so we read that in the book of Acts and go through the New Testament, how they went about preaching the gospel. But it cost them something as they made the truth known to others. What did it cost them? Well, they were beat up, they were whipped, they were beaten, they were thrown into prison. Some of them, in fact, all of the apostles lost their lives because they believed the truth. And they preached it and shared it with other people. Truth costs something. Truth always costs something down through the pages of church history. You've probably got a Bible with you tonight. Sometimes people are ashamed to be seen with the Bible. You want your mates to see you with the Bible. Never be ashamed to hold the Bible, because this book is truth. And in church history, there are people who gave their lives so that you could hold the truth in your hands here tonight. Story of people like Tyndale, who was burnt alive at the stake. He was burnt alive because he wanted people like us to be able to read the Bible in our own language. Truth has cost something. And even today, there are people in different parts of the world who are losing their lives because they believe this book is the truth and Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There have been more people murdered for their faith in Jesus Christ in the last 100 years than the rest of humanity. human history. And so truth often costs something. We don't have that in our country. Praise God for that. But truth costs something. And so when the proverb says, buy the truth, it's going to cost you something. Weigh it up. Now, as I say, we have religious freedom. You're not going to be taken out in stone because we're gathering here in this meeting. We don't have to do it in secret like you have to do in some countries in the world. But if you're going to be a young person who's going to live for Jesus Christ, it is going to cost you something. Go into your school and let people know you're a Christian. And not only a Christian, but you're a keen Christian. And it's the most important thing in your life. You're probably going to get some snide remarks, funny looks. You're probably going to lose a few relationships there as well. Make a stand for Christ. You're going to come across some opposition. And don't be surprised, because Jesus, when he lived here on earth, faced opposition. So if you're one of his followers, you're going to face opposition as well. It's going to cost you something. Maybe friendships, maybe isolation, maybe those snide remarks. It's also going to cost you some time and discipline. Because if this book is truth, you want to know the truth. And that's going to cost you. The time of actually reading this book and studying it and meditating it. Meditating means putting it over your mind until it gets into your heart. Of letting this book, the truth, guide your life and direct your life. See, it doesn't happen by a process of osmosis. Osmosis is where you put your Bible on your bedside cabinet at night, go to sleep, and then when you wake up, everything inside it is suddenly transferred into your mind. It doesn't happen like that. And so there's the cost of time and discipline of getting to know the truth. And there's also the cost of knowing Christ in a deep and meaningful way as well. Let me explain it this way. I have a book with me here this evening. It's called Knowing Christ by Alistair McGrath. And you might never have heard of Alistair McGrath. Alistair McGrath is a very smart guy, professor in Cambridge. And he travels all around the world teaching the Bible. And he's debated with people like Richard Dawkins, you know, hardened atheists and so forth. Really smart guy. He grew up in this area. And the reason I knew him, because when I grew up, lived with my parents in Saintfield, Alistair McGrath's parents were our next door neighbours. And so he's a bit older than me, but I've met him on a number of occasions. And so always interested when I see a book in a bookshop by him, because when you know the author, it just makes it a bit more interesting. And I really like this book because although I knew this guy, I'd never heard his testimony before until I read the first chapter in this book. And he explains what he used to be like growing up here in Northern Ireland. How he went to Methody in Belfast, and when he went to Methody, he would describe himself as an atheist. He loved science, he had a great scientific mind, and there was no way God would fit into that. And so he had rejected any thought about God. And then at the age of 18, he left Northern Ireland here, and he went to study in Oxford University. So he went to study science. And in his first month at Oxford, he came to know Jesus Christ as a saviour. He came to know the one who is the truth. And he was led to Christ by some other students. He had invited them to a Christian Union meeting. And when he came to know Christ as a saviour, he wanted to know everything about Christ. He wanted to know everything about the truth that's found in the Bible. And so he went to every Christian meeting he could find. And as he went around the Christian meetings, he found lots of young Christians as well. This was Oxford. These were smart guys. And he knew these people who knew their Bible inside out. These were people who could answer all the difficult questions. So as people challenged them, would you believe this? Why do you believe this? They could answer all the questions with really intelligent responses. But he made this striking observation really early on in his Christian faith. He looked at these smart people who knew the truth, as it's found here in this book. But his observation of them was, they were as dry as dust. What does that mean? It was all head knowledge. They knew all this Bible stuff inside their head, but it had never made an impact upon their hearts. And so there was no love. There was no affection for Christ. It was just intellectual head knowledge. And Alistair McGrath realized there's more to the Christian life than head knowledge. And so from that day on, he made Philippians 3:8 his motto. It's a verse he prays every day. And Philippians 3:8 says, I count everything else as loss, apart from the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. So I count everything else in this world is rubbish. It's dross, it's loss, apart from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. That word knowing doesn't mean head knowledge. It means knowing in a deep, intimate way, the way a husband would know his wife. I want to know Christ in a real, living way. That's what it means to buy the truth, to invest the time so you don't just know answers to quiz questions, head knowledge, but you actually get to know the person who is the truth. Don't waste your youth. Here's the best way not to waste your youth and to be someone who can be used by God. Get to know the person who is the truth. Buy the truth. Whatever the cost is, get to know Christ. But it's not how the proverb finishes, because it says, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, once you've bought the truth, once you've invested in it, once you've paid the cost that's involved, don't sell the truth. Now, a number of years ago, when I was still living in Sainfield, I wanted to have a clear out in my garage. I went in my garage, I found all these kids' toys that I'd played with as a child that my mum had given me once I got married. They were sort of stored in boxes there, and I looked through them, and it was a lot of junk, stuff, half-chewed toys and stuff like that there. And I thought, I could throw them out, but I wonder if I could make some money. As I opened up the box, there was all these Star Wars toys I'd played with when I was about 7 or 8. And there's all these Star Wars geeks who love that kind of thing. So I took some photographs, stuck it up on eBay, online auction site, and sold these Star Wars toys for hundreds of pounds. It was great. People like half-chewed bits of plastic, which are 20, 30 years old. But as I looked through my old toys, I opened one box, and inside was my favourite childhood toy. Now, it was a Subudio set, which probably none of you know what that is. Subudio is like table football. So when I was growing up in the 1980s, we didn't have computers, and so there was no such thing as FIFA football computer game. And so what we did was, we played this table football. You put this like green cloth football pitch out in your dining room table, and you had these wee plastic figures, and you flick them about, and you recreated football. And as I opened this box of my favourite childhood toy, I was overcome with these brilliant childhood memories. The hours wasted and spent playing with this toy. And as I was looking at it, thinking back to wonderful memories, my wife Joanne came in, and she looked in the box. She looked at me, and she said, "You're not going to try and sell that on eBay, are you?" I said, "Absolutely not. There's no way I'm going to sell this." Instead, I went into the kitchen, set the green cloth out on the kitchen table, put all the plastic figures out, and started to relive my childhood and play with it again. There's no way I was going to let it go. It meant too much to me. Now, I'm not saying if the house was burning down, I would lift it before I rescued my children from the house. But there are some things in life that are just too valuable. You could probably do the same. If I sent you home tonight and said, right, find some things in your house that you could sell on eBay, get a wee bit of extra money, you could find lots of stuff, stuff you haven't looked at for ages, stuff you're never going to use, you could have a good clear out. You'd also find things that you would never ever let go. They mean too much to you. Maybe they don't cost a lot of money, but they're important. Maybe there's a gift that a parent gave you or a grandparent, somebody passed something on to you, something made something for you. Something given to you by a close friend. And when you look at it, you know, it means too much. I'm never ever going to let that go. I think that's what this verse is getting at. Buy the truth and sell it not. There's some things in life are too precious, they're too valuable, that once you've got hold of them, never ever let them go. Now, how could you ever sell the truth? How is that possible? Well, we have a phrase in our English language. We talk about people have sold out on something. When you sell out on something, you compromise your principles or your beliefs for your own gain. The classic example of that is if you're into football, is when a footballer leaves the club that he has grown up with to go and join another club for lots of money. So what happens in football is you get this young guy, he joins a football club as a child, they coach him, they train him, he gets to play for his boyhood heroes, the fans love him because they're one of his own, he says he's never going to leave the club, and then a big club like Manchester United come in and offer him millions and millions of pounds. What does he do? He forgets about the club he says he's never going to leave because he wants the money. And he leaves it behind and he goes and signs where the money is. And then when he goes back at some stage to play with his new club, at his old club where he grew up, the old fans hate him for it. They think he's sold out. He's left them because he's just after the money. And in football, what do the crowd normally shout at somebody like that? They call him Judas. Because Judas is somebody who actually sold the truth. He sold Jesus Christ for his own financial gain. That's how we sell out. When you You give up your principles, what you believe in, for your own gain. Do you know, we can actually sell the truth. We can sell out on the person who's the truth, Jesus Christ. We sell the truth when we exchange it for something else. When I was a teenager, do you know what I sold the truth for? I sold the truth for acceptance. I believed Jesus had died for me, and I trusted him as my saviour. But I was more concerned about what my mates in school thought. And so I sold the truth for acceptance. Are you a Christian? No. Did I say anything? Did I have any impact? God had placed me in that school to be a light, to be a witness? No, I sold out. Because I wanted to be in with the in crowd. I sold out for acceptance. And I wasted my youth. God could have used me in a mighty way, but I sold out. Some people sell the truth for comfort. You know, Jesus says there's a cost involved. You know? Count the cost before you become one of my followers. He actually says, take up your cross and follow me. Are you willing to make a sacrifice to follow me? And sometimes we think about it and go, you know what? Christian life's too difficult. And you know who we end up being like? That Anglican minister in Seattle I told you about at the start. The one who takes the bits of Christianity, which you liked, and dropped everything else. And the Bible teaches some difficult things. And it teaches some hard things. And it teaches some things that our friends in school or uni aren't willing to accept. And we don't want any opposition. And we don't want people to think we're some kind of religious fanatic. And so we'll water it down and we'll drop the bits we don't like and we'll sell the truth, what the Bible says, and what it means to be a follower of the truth, Jesus Christ, because we just want a comfortable life. We don't want anybody to make fun of us. Sometimes we sell the truth morally. We know what the Bible says about certain issues. We know what is right and wrong, but we still cross the line. Do you know why? It feels good, and we like it. And we know what the Bible truth says, but we sell the truth morally. Sometimes we sell the truth for the pleasures of this world. Having a good time with the in crowd is more important than doing what the Bible teaches us. And so we'll go to places we know we shouldn't, and we do things we know we shouldn't. And so we sell the truth for the pleasures of this world. And here's what most young people do who are believers. They sell the truth for absolutely nothing. Yeah, you made a profession of your faith, or your profession of faith when you were younger. You got your passport stamped for heaven. I prayed a prayer. I'm going to heaven. That's it. Nothing else happens in your Christian life. You don't spend time getting to know Christ and building that relationship with him. And you've never turned away from Christianity. You haven't become an atheist. You haven't rejected things. If somebody was to say to you, you're Christian, you'd say, yeah. But you've just gone cold. You haven't done anything. You've no real interest. And if that's you, yeah, you come along on a Saturday night because, yeah, you can hang about with your mates and you'll go to church tomorrow, but it means little to you. You know what you've done? You've sold the truth for absolutely nothing. You've just gone cold. You've just walked away. But here's the reality. Whatever you sell the truth for, you get a losing deal. Let me say it again. Whatever you sell the truth for, you get a losing deal because you've substituted it for the one who is the way, the truth, and life, Jesus Christ. That's the way to waste your life as a young person. To sell the truth for comfort, for acceptance, morally, or just for absolutely nothing. So we wrap this up here this evening. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. There's never been a point in your life where you have bought the truth, where you've counted the cost and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Saviour. As you sit here tonight, yeah, you know about Christianity. You put your hand up and answer a question if you're back in Sunday school doing a quiz. But it's just head knowledge. You know nothing of Jesus. Can I say to you, don't waste your youth any longer. Today, count the cost. That's what Jesus said. You want to be one of my followers? Count the cost. Are you willing to give up everything this world could offer you to have the greatest thing, Jesus Christ as your treasure, Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ as your Lord? If that's you tonight, buy the truth. Don't put it off. Buy the truth. And once you've bought the truth, once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, don't sell it. Never ever let it go, because it's the most valuable thing in the world. Maybe you're here this evening, you have bought the truth. You are a Christian. You can say, yeah, I can look back at a time where I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Can I say to you, don't waste your youth, because God can do great things through you. Don't waste your youth. Make that sacrifice of time to get to know the truth. to spend time reading it, meditating upon it. Spend the time getting to know the one who is the truth, Jesus Christ, as he's revealed here. Make it your prayer, the same one as this man Alistair McGrath, who said from Philippians 3 and 8, I count everything as loss, apart from the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus. I'm going to spend time in God's word because I want to know Christ. That's the greatest treasure. And as you do that, pray and ask God to help you to do that, to know the truth even more, help you to live by the truth. And if you do that, then you won't waste your youth. And God will use you to do incredible things. Where he's placed you, in your school, university, whatever, God will use you to be a light shining for him. Remember you're here tonight and you're thinking, do you know what? I claim to be a Christian. I've bought the truth at one point in my life, but I have sold it out. I've sold the truth for comfort. I've rejected bits of it. I've sold it for acceptance. I'm more worried about what my non-Christian friends think. I've sold it morally. I'm doing things that are morally wrong. The things I'm looking at, the places I'm going, the way that I'm speaking, I've sold the truth morally. Or maybe you've sold it for nothing. You're just cold in your Christian faith. If that's you tonight, you need to confess that as sin that needs to be confessed, and you need to confess that now. And come to a gracious God who's able to forgive you. And seek his forgiveness. And from this point, stop wasting your youth. From this point, start living for Jesus Christ. And so as we think about that this evening, don't waste your youth. Instead, follow these seven words of wisdom. Buy the truth and sell it not. Once you've got the truth, never ever let it go. Never abandon it. Never drop it. But live it out in your life.